The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4 Wins. I'm Tony Curry, 40 years in the radio biz, sports radio as well. Case Keeper to my left, of course, executive director, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. He's out there in Vegas right now. Right below me is Kit Keeper, executive director of Birmingham Racecourse Casino. Been calling horses, dogs, casino stuff, you name it, for the last 40 years. And of course, a 40-year vet in his own right mind. He's done both sides of the ledger, Kai Gregory. And together we make our Kai four. Well, you know, it's funny because we couldn't find a fifth K, or else we would have made it 5K or 4K, but four is enough. K4Wins.
More than enough.
Yeah, K, on TV.
It really is. K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com. Worthless, useless Tony Curry trivia right off the top. What college football team, FBS team, has the most losses all time?
Well, Indiana has the second most.
Yeah, Indiana just got moved Northwestern.
That is correct. And if you AI it, they still have Indiana number one with 715 losses. Northwestern is number two, and Rutgers is number three. So your top three losers are all Big Ten schools. I thought we'd throw that out there.
I am shocked to hear that.
For sake of that trivia question, though, we're going to stay with Indiana because it just sounds good to have the number one team in the land actually have more losses than any other football team in college football history. We got a lot to get into today. We're going to get into the plays. Of course, we got a lot of futures to get into. I just pulled up the futures, just came down a few seconds ago. We've got some changes. Oklahoma's now gone to 45-1. Alabama, Miami, Ole Miss, all 22-1. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just looking at the latest here. James Madison was 900-1. They're now down 700-1. Tulane, 750-1. And right now, your shortest odds are Ohio State at 220 and Indiana 290. So 2.21-1, if you will, or 2.2-1. And then Georgia and then Texas Tech round out the top four. What are you seeing on the big board out there, Case, as far as the movers and grinders? And what are some people? Does not surprise me. Alabama's 22-1. I know a lot of Bama fans will absolutely love that because I can't remember the last time Alabama was 22-1 for a national title. That sounds like a pretty good buy for them.
Yeah, you got it basically right. I mean, the futures boards are going to be a lot different no matter where you look, kind of different than the point spreads. Usually, you know, you might find a place that's a half point off or whatever, but futures can be more based on liability, and it really depends on the clientele. If you're at a sharper book or one taking recreational money, I probably have probably the second sharpest book in Vegas right now when you said it at the super book. And they basically had the same order you said, but some subtle differences, like Alabama's 25. Ohio State and Indiana are basically co-favorites. Ohio State's 240, Indiana 260. I don't know if there's a ton of action in the futures market this time of year, maybe recreationally, but I think the people that are betting a little more, myself included, not that I'm betting the most, but have kind of been doing this all year, and now you're using it more as a hedging vehicle or filling out your portfolio. But yeah, in general, you had the right order.
All right, I want to do a little fun here. We did this with Kip yesterday, and I thought it was really, really amazing. We went through all 12 teams that are in the playoffs, and I asked Kip which ones actually have a shot at winning a national title. And you can pick as many as you want. You can pick 9 or 10 teams if you want. But when I say these names, these teams, do you actually think they have a shot at a national title? We'll go with both of you and chime in. James Madison.
No.
No. Tulane.
No.
Miami.
No.
I still will say very slight yes. Just the path almost makes me want to say no. If they had a different path, I would be a strong yes. But they're going to have to beat Ohio State, Georgia, Texas A&M, and then that's before the championship game. So I'll say very slight yes.
Very slight yes. Alabama.
No.
No.
Shouldn't be in.
Oklahoma.
No.
I mean, we're right on the ledge of all these, but I guess just for harmony's sake, I'll say no.
You're going to say no?
Yeah, I'll
you
say no.
Say yes as many as you want. I don't care. And this is because I'm.
But if you don't think they can win, don't say yes.
If you don't think they can win, but to me, this is like, should they be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or should they be in the Hall of Fame? If you have to think about it, you can make an argument they can be. I'm always like, it's either yes or no right off the top. When someone says,
hold on, if Oklahoma loses to Alabama, do they get a redo also? Because they beat them once, so do they get an automatic redo for losing?
They can go play with Notre Dame in the NIT. A&M.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Okay. Ole Miss.
No.
No.
Oregon.
No.
Yes.
Texas Tech.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, Kai should be betting the futures market. He's have like three teams. Just yeah, three teams. There's one of the three wins, you're golden.
I will go that Texas Tech, they've got a shot, but they've got to be 100% healthy all the way through.
So is that a yes?
Cannot have an injury.
Is that a yes or a no?
Yeah, I'm going to go yes. I'm going to say yes for the top four. How weak is that?
Okay, so that's so horrible. Georgia?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yes, and then Ohio State?
Yes.
And then Indiana?
Yes.
Okay, it's interesting because Kip came with Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, and Miami. I would have to go with Indiana. I would have to go with Georgia. I would have to go with Ohio State. I would have to go with Texas Tech. And I'd have to throw Oregon in there just because I like Dan Lanning. I just love the guy.
So the top five seeds you would say can.
I would say top five. I know Bama fans are going to say, well, hell yeah, we've got a shot. I mean, everyone has a shot, but they really don't. And I think now with
– Well, if you're in the 12 teams, you got a shot, but that doesn't mean
– No, yeah.
But not really.
No, but I love the fact that Kip went with Miami because I do think – I don't know this – I don't know if we're going to have an 11 or 12 seed. Like if we're looking at this like March Madness where we're going to have a team that actually runs off four or five victories, obviously not to win that many. And I know it's week 12 team format. I get that. But I don't know if we're going to have any small teams like a James Madison actually win a couple of games and disrupt the entire thing.
It's just when you're
playing with five guys, you can have a really off night and lose a basketball game. James Madison could beat a Kansas or Kentucky on a basketball court. But in football, when you got 22 guys in it and it has three different facets to it, I don't see it happening. So I do think it's going to be interesting when we go to 16. Case, I asked you to do a little homework before we get into some plays. I want you to give me Vegas's top 12. And what I mean by that is I want you to give me the best 12 teams in Vegas based on who would be favored over who. So first of all, I want to ask you, are there any teams outside the top 12?
The best team in the nation's not in the playoffs.
Yeah,
about 300 teams would be favored over James Madison and Tulane. So I got that. But give me the top 12 teams according to Las Vegas, and if you had them head-to-head, because I think this is way we should be picking the games. I can't wait to hear this. Go.
Okay, a few disclaimers. One, this is not mine, so don't yell at me. I know this is a very contentious topic right now. I've seen tons of people get very mad about it. Two, while I do think there's value in the odds and the odds makers, and maybe they should have a little bit of a handle on this, there are misaligned incentives here. The odds makers are trying to make the best number possible to print the most action to therefore have the highest hold. Whereas there's got to be something about what you do on the field. There's teams that there's one team that's definitely not in the top 12 that's easily in the field, and I agree should be in the field because they won the number of games. That doesn't mean that going forward predictively they're like some juggernaut. And I know I don't know. So I guess I'll just get to it. I know this is going to make everyone mad. There's three teams that are in a tier of their own right now as far as betting would be a favorite over everyone by at least a field goal, and against each other, they're going to be three or less against each other. That's Ohio State, Indiana, and Notre Dame. You can be mad about it. That's just the bottom line.
No, I think we all agree. I think we all agree.
That's why I'm so frustrated with the process is every other year I've defended the committee. I thought we've gotten teams, you know, as much as 2 years ago is still one that I understand the Florida State frustration. I still think I would do the same thing in the position because at least Alabama had a chance to win the national.
And it was four teams. I keep saying that over and over. It's completely different than it is now.
I mean, you undoubtedly, and I know people hate Notre Dame and they kind of did it to themselves by refusing to join a conference. There's just no way. I mean, they're probably a 2.5-point dog to Ohio State right now, who's been the top power-rated team ever since the beginning of last year's playoff. Yep. So anyway, next tier, teams that still definitely have a choice, a chance. I think right now Georgia would be favored over everyone else. However, and I know at least maybe Kip and – or maybe it's Kip and Tony. A lot of you guys don't like this team. Oregon at full health is right there with Georgia. Yeah, Oregon's going to be favored.
I got Oregon as I think they have a shot at winning the national title.
Georgia, Oregon, Texas Tech is right there as well.
The
Texas Tech Oregon line, assuming we get that game, which I'm almost sure it will, is going to be absolutely fascinating because I honestly think right now it would open like a pick. I know I say the same thing about Oregon every week, but they have the biggest injury list in college football. They had almost $10 million worth of NIL out their last two games. They still cruise. There's a lot of rumblings that some of these guys could be back for the playoff. Now you get James Madison. I'd probably even hold him out that game. If they get some guys back against Texas Tech, there's going to be people scratching their heads saying, well, how is Oregon such a big favorite? How are they a field goal favorite over Texas Tech? I mean, they've had everyone hurt, and they've still rolled. So I think at full strength, Oregon would be ahead of Texas Tech. Right now, it's kind of a coin flip. I would also put Texas A&M in that tier. That's the clear top seven to me. Miami a little bit behind Texas A&M. You've seen the line. What is it, 3.5, 4 now? So that's saying Texas A&M is a very slightly better team on a neutral field. Obviously, they're at home. So Miami's right there at 8. I think that's a clear top 8. Surprisingly, Alabama and Oklahoma, I think, are clearly the next two. I mean, it's a pick 'em game at Oklahoma. These are just betting market ratings again, not necessarily my opinion. Next, I think pretty clearly based on what the betting market's done and the results, Vanderbilt would be 11 now, of course, not in the playoff. 12 is where you have a really tough time because there's some weird things going on, but all these teams would be about pick them to each other. That is I think as of right now, the next teams are Utah, Iowa, and Texas. However, you could argue Ole Miss belongs in the group, but I'm telling you right now, Ole Miss is rated very lowly by the betting market all year. Now they lost their coach. I've seen some quotes from some odds makers I really respect. It said that's going to be worth 1.5. And again, Ole Miss deserves to be in the playoff. I think they should be there, but I just have not I'm just not as impressed with them as I think a lot of you guys are, and I think a lot of the predictive measures are. I mean, they've beaten Washington State, Kentucky, Arkansas, all these teams by like 3 to 6 points. They're basically, to me, rolling the dice in a bunch of these games against bad teams, and it's coming out right. They absolutely deserve it. I'm not saying they should be left out of the playoff, but as far as predictive measures, they're outside of the top.
Pete 12. Golding to the rescue.
Here's a legitimate question. But Kiffin makes a whole lot of moronic coaching decisions, in my opinion, especially on fourth downs, not kicking field goals, going for some things. Now, Pete Golding, if he doesn't coach that way, does that benefit?
No. Kiffin has a great situation. We're never going to agree on this, so I just usually bite my tongue. Kiffin maximizes win probability every step of the way. This he doesn't kick field goals on fourth down is so ridiculous. We saw one of the Ohio State kicked a field goal from the 9. You saw how that go. It's not an automatic 3 points when you kick a field goal. This is a game of touchdowns. We have totals in the 60s. Field goals aren't winning games.
From the 9. They didn't kick it. They attempted it.
Like Al Del Greco always said, every time he kicked a field goal, he's 3 points closer to losing, is what he said. He's like, every time he kicked a field goal, he's 3 points closer to losing. All right, thank you for doing that, man, because I think this remark. I think it's fantastic. Since we're on it in the futures, all of a sudden, the Heisman Trophy, we now know the 4 guys are going to be going. Is it Mendoza and everyone else? Pavia, has he got a shot? I think just from a guy who's been out in front of the camera, he's got the look. He just has the look. He's already done the thing in front of the camera and stuff like that. And then you got Sang, and of course, you also have Jeremiah Love, who was banged up there towards the end of the thing, but he's had a fantastic season. This could be a really fun watching the Heisman Trophy. What do you think, Kyle?
I think it'll be a lot of fun seeing Pavia's brother probably get arrested again and his mom do some hoochie dance, you know, while it's going on, especially if he wins.
It's a strange family, man. It's a weird family. Good for them. But
Tennessee fan, I sure as hell don't want to see Pavia win and Vandy get a Heisman Trophy winner before Tennessee.
Yeah, that would hurt.
Right now, what is it, Mendoza? What are the odds on the Heisman Trophy so far, Case?
It's not up in Vegas. There's rules. They have to take it down, I think, 2 weeks ago. But at the big nationals, Mendoza's like minus 3,000. I mean, the margins are so slight in this. Speaking of that field goal, if it goes in and Ohio State wins in overtime, I think Pavia is winning. Yep. I think the writing's on the wall right now that Mendoza will be the winner. Pavia will be second. And, you know, also, I mean, if Jeremiah Love doesn't get hurt in the first quarter against Stanford, I don't think he's winning, but I think he might have edged Pavia in the Ohio State win. The win decision tree, if that would have actually happened. But yeah, I think it's going to be Mendoza. The interesting part to me will be how close Pavia is in second, because I do think Pavia will be the clear second choice.
He's going to get some votes from you know, some people. And I know how that just sounded, but he's going to get some votes that a lot of people wouldn't have gotten because they owe the story and his where he came from and all those different things.
Recruited. Yeah, I played junior college for 2 years. But numbers-wise, I just don't see how you deny him with what he's done with a program that's been moribund forever. And I, you know, the big showcase game, Ohio State, Indiana, what did Mendoza do to distinguish himself? It was 13-10. It was watching a soccer game would have been more exciting.
Top five defenses in the country going at it.
Each other. Back to my point. See him play some other teams.
It's the same reason why Jay Barker was up in New York for the Heisman Trophy his senior year. When he was his numbers were in the top 30, but you know, he was that guy. He was the field general. Everyone loved him.
Yeah.
He won a national title for his team, and he won the Johnny Unitas. So I know what you're saying, Bobby. I think if Bobby had pulled it back just a little bit and didn't have his mother at his right hip every single time he's on television, maybe he actually would help.
It's certainly not an award for the family of the year or the individual greatest Americans, because they are a bizarre group. But that's another thing that makes his story compelling. This guy is the ultimate mutt underdog that you just don't see coming. And if the Heisman Trophy, and this is an age-old debate about the pro awards too, the most valuable player, if it's the most valuable player is the Heisman Trophy or the best player, I mean, nobody made a bigger difference to their team than Diego Pavia did at Vanderbilt, because with just a run-of-the-mill quarterback, which they usually have or less, Vanderbilt's a 500 team this year. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
But I'm also, despite the fact that he didn't have a lot of great numbers, I don't know if I'd want any other quarterback playing Ohio State that this past weekend in Mendoza. He played within himself. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. He didn't put his team in jeopardy.
Okay, give him the award for best player in the country.
He did whatever it took to win the football game for his team. And that's all he
did. His big moment was
throw was sensational. And Ohio State's given up less than 100 points all year. You can argue that. Was Diego Pavia going to do any bit better? I mean, you're talking about numbers. Mendoza's blow him away. I mean,
if Diego Pavia is Indiana's quarterback, I bet he would have done better.
No way.
I just don't see the Mendoza hype. I don't understand it. I don't get it. His big play of the year was beating
organizations that would be tripping over themselves to draft the guy in the top five, but because he plays in the Big Ten, he sucks.
No, I just don't see him being the most spectacular player. They have done a great job of putting a roster together at a program that's been horrible, but I don't think he's the difference. I don't think he's the reason that they're playing at this level. I watched that game there, and I didn't see a great performance from Mendoza.
I think just because you're a quarterback, you don't need to. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes also had a lousy night the other night. He's a great quarterback. He's won Super Bowls just because he's had I wouldn't even say it in an off night. He did what he needed to do to win that football game for his team. And I think that's all they wanted to do. And it's all they had to do. They won a championship for the first time in forever. So it's fascinating. And I love this talk. I love when we go around.
What's the best defense Bobby has played this year? Probably Alabama. He put up 14 points, threw a couple interceptions, and had like 150 yards or something.
Two terrible plays in the Alabama game that cost them the game.
And Alabama's defense is not Ohio State's, in my opinion. That would be my case.
Indiana.
Yeah.
We're Indiana.
Well, will Ice be at the Heisman Trophy ceremony?
That could add some extra drama to what I think is going to be a boring event, because I'm just not that compelled to watch any of that.
I think it's going to be fascinating. I really do. I think it's going to be something to watch.
15 years
tell me why Julian Sands there.
I agree.
He's probably going to be fine. He might be third or fourth. I mean, I do think that goes to Tony's Ohio State. You got to get a representative. They've been the best team all year by most measures. I wouldn't be voting for Sand. I mean, I'm knocking Pavia, and he'd be number two on my ballot, clearly. But
we can pick them all, and it wasn't Mendoza. Who do you think is there another player they missed? Is there a player that's not in New York that should be?
No, I mean, this is the other thing. It's kind of a bad year.
I mean, I don't know, you say Julian Sanchin be there. Well, who else should be there? I mean, don't tell me Mateer, because he hasn't done shit. Everyone keeps talking about how great Mateer is. He's not.
He's had a terrible second half. He's not been the same player since he got hurt.
No, the only reason we were talking about him is because no one was doing shit 6 weeks into the football season, and he had a good game.
South Florida quarterback.
I think it's one of the things where they got the best where they got, and because of that, it may be actually kind of fun to watch. It's a great story for Indiana. Kudos for them, and I know
it's
that
just it's a 2-hour show with an hour and 55 minutes of bullshit that we don't need to watch, and then they'll give the award.
Well, then tune in the last 5 minutes, Scott. You don't have to watch the whole thing. We're not making – yeah, okay, fine. You don't have to watch the whole thing. I think it's going to be fun. They got 2 hours, and they have to sell ads. That's what they do. That's why they're paying football players. They have to like 2 hours of commercials. Kip knows all about that. Just because you got one thing to say, you got a 2-hour show, you got to sell commercials. That's what you got to do. All right, let's get into some lines. Army-Navy this weekend. Navy 6 and 37.5. We mentioned the fact that the last three have actually gone over that total. And we all kind of liked Navy right here, but I think that line opened up like a 4.5, something like that. And of course, you've got a kid in the forces, my friend. And thank you for having a family. And we love having a family member in the forces on our show here at K4 Wins. But what's your thoughts on Army Navy, Scott?
It's going to be awesome because Dalton actually is getting on leave Friday. So he'll be here Saturday. And so we'll get to watch that game. So that'll be good. He's going to be home for about 2 weeks before he goes to, he's going to Japan. I can say that. It's not like that's a war.
He's broke CIA regulations.
I jumped on it at 4.5 and actually bought it down to 4. Now it's at 6. And I actually saw 6.5 this morning on one of the sites I look at. I don't know if Case is seeing that anywhere. But I love Navy in the situation. I just think it's another kind of big win. Actually, I think Navy probably wins. And in this game, a 10-point win is a big win. So I think they cover and win by at least 10.
Cash, your thoughts?
We got a big middle. I know I was sounded like I was leaning the Navy way when we talked about it last week, but I forget this game's always in a neutral site. So I was kind of doing those calculations quick in my mind with Navy home field advantage. When I actually made the number yesterday, I came out to 4.5, and there was a lot of Navy action yesterday. Still a little 6.5, but I bet Army +7 -20 yesterday. It popped up at a sports book here. It might be different this year because both offenses are a little bit better. Navy can throw. They've got a superstar at quarterback. But it still just has me, tough getting out of my head that this game's probably going to be played in like the 30s, maybe the 40s. And when you're getting a full 7 with a game like that, and it's the only game on the board, it's not like it's some huge edge for me. But I just thought 7 was a little too much. So I went Army +7 -20. I think 6.5 might still be fine. A little sketchy, anything below that. So, hopefully it's a good game and lands like a 6-point win and both Kai and I win.
We do have one of the game, actually, that evening. We got the L.A. Bowl between Washington and Boise State that evening, which is kind of funky. And I hate that because I think Army-Navy Day should be Army-Navy Day. I think it should be all Army-Navy. Yeah. We shouldn't have another football game that day. I'm not sure what the thought is on that. But Boise State and Washington right now giving up 9.5, over 51.5. Kip, what's your thoughts on those two games coming up Saturday? I know my son, this is brutal time of the year for him because he loves college football so much. And he's like called me last night and he was actually in tears. I said, son, it's okay. We still got bowl season, but he just loves. And I know how much you love watching sports with your sons and your grandsons. I know how much you love going out to Vegas and seeing your boy and seeing his sons and everything and how important it is. And so my son feels the same way. He just wants to get home and watch football with his old man. And I love that. But with two games on Saturday, I'll have my head in front of the TV.
I always like the pageantry of the Army-Navy game. I'm kind of a patriotic guy, and the scenery and the guys marching in and the enthusiasm for that game. I mean, if you don't like that, you don't have a pulse. So I always enjoy watching that game, and I love the competitiveness of it. Those two teams play at a completely different level when they play each other. And usually that leads to a pretty good game, and I think it will be for three quarters. But I just think Navy, to me, looks like such a better complete team. And the extra element of discovering what their peers in the military discovered, that you can have an aerial war, not just a ground war, really gives Navy the edge here. I think they're so much more adept at going up top. And their quarterback has been great, and they've got a team that they were competitive for the American Athletic Conference title. Tulane, the champion, is in the playoffs, so that's pretty good too. So I think Navy will end up winning and probably covering right toward the end, but I think it'll be a knockdown drag out game like it always is. And that's news to me. I did not know that Washington and Boise were playing this weekend. I thought that was next weekend. So thank you for enlightening me. That's an interesting game. Of course, they're big Pacific Northwest teams that are going to be meeting in LA, I guess. I think this is the game that used to be called the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl gag. But thankfully, they got that out of there, because that was an absolute circus with him doing stupid stuff the whole game instead of we'll get back to football after we watch Jimmy Kimmel make an ass out of himself. So I'm really glad to see that that's been taken away. But this is a pretty good matchup. I don't know what the line on the game is, but I lost a little respect. Washington was my upset special of the year last week against Oregon, and they just were not up to the task. Oregon was much better than them. I was completely wrong. I thought Oregon would lose one of their last two games with USC and then Washington. I thought that was a kind of a daunting task for them to be expected to beat both those teams. They did it, so my estimation of Oregon has come up a considerable fashion. But I think Jed Fish is on the right track at Washington, but I was a little bit disappointed down the stretch. They went to Wisconsin and lost. I don't think this is a great team. And I think Boise still, it gets undersold a lot of times. I know a couple people liked UNLV against them, and they just boat raced UNLV both times. I would lean Boise here. I don't know what the line is. I'm sure they're the underdog, but
it is nine and a half.
I would take the points.
Yeah. And by the way, Boise State 7-1 against the spread this year, so they were one of the better teams.
Yeah, I think they never get any credit, but they're always a good team. Yeah.
With Madsen back, they are solid. And I don't know that Washington's still going to have a defensive coordinator come Saturday. I know that Tennessee is targeting him I know Case has talked about Washington. You've talked about Washington and how difficult it is to go play there, but Washington's also a different team when they're not at home. Kind of scary. Is their defense good enough to hold Boise, or is their offense good enough to score against Boise? That total's sitting at 51.
Yeah.
By the way, I will say, you know, the Army-Navy game, encourage anybody listening or whatever, go watch that game. I hate that they don't show, you know, that used to be something when I was growing up, the Army-Navy game, they would show the whole 2 hours before the game, all the cadets and the midshipmen walking in and all that. And
yeah, which is cool.
That much anymore. They show like 30-second little splotches, but, you know, that's one of the few games that we have where – you know, we're all out here, you know, and we talk about warriors and fighting and all that, but we're actually seeing warriors and guys that are out there playing football that actually, you know, are willing to die for us and for our freedom. It's pretty freaking incredible game to watch.
Absolutely. Every single day should be a military day or Veterans Day or something. And by the way, a week from today is also another bowl game that has to do. That's called Salute to the Veterans Bowl game, which is going to be Troy and Jacksonville State. That line is 4 and 46.5. So that game's going to be going off a week from today. So, and then we get into the bowl games. I do want to kind of get into the top four games. Obviously, we have lines on right now that I think is going to be just very interesting. We obviously have a couple of games that are going to be absolute blowouts, or should be, in a lot of people. And I want to throw this question. I saw Heather Dennett, who I really like. I think she does a great job. She was on with Paul Feinbaum just a few minutes ago. And Paul did his thing and said, listen, no one gives a damn about James Madison or Tulane. No one wants to see them in the playoffs. No one gives a shit about watch. No one's going to watch the game. It's going to be a 40-point game and no one cares. She came the other direction and said, listen, while you may not want to watch that ball game, I certainly will. I do think it has given fan bases of much smaller schools. It's a 6-year deal, by the way, with a group of 5 schools. So whether you like it or not, the group of five is going to have a team in the mix every single year. I like the little guy. I like the Cinderella story. I understand that it's not college basketball. They're probably not going to get a win, probably ever. But I do think it involves other fan bases. I think the Sun Belt can actually watch their team, and I think that's good for college football. I just think that's good for college football. So we'll start right there. Oregon minus 21 against James Madison. Case, is that number right where you put it at?
I made it a little bit higher once I got to actual numbers. I will say, as mad as I still was, it shows you how mad I was at the selection committee. I've talked about it all year. I had James Madison 14-1 to make the playoff, so that was nice to cash.
Nice!
Hey, how about that?
I gave it out. I talked about it on this show from the beginning of the year. So,
nice!
I have not bet this game. My first reaction is that Oregon should crush them. I know I'm just so hung up on this. I do want to see who Oregon's going to have available. They haven't had four offensive linemen playing down the stretch, including a couple of NFL guys. And I think that's really where they can outclass James Madison, the line of scrimmage. They've also got their top four receivers down. There's a lot of rumblings that some of them could be back for the playoffs. So I'm going to try to keep my ear to the ground. If I hear some of these guys are ruled in, I think that's worth a point or two. So it would probably be Oregon or pass for me right now. Numbers-wise, though, it comes out a little bit it would point more toward the James Madison size, but it just – I don't – numbers wise, I couldn't get to a bet. I guess I'm just talking myself into circles on that. So, nothing for me there. But it seems like a game Oregon should take care of. I love the. It didn't work out this year, the group of five team getting in, but I think it'll be a travesty the day that it ultimately does turn and they get knocked out. I don't know. I feel like people that don't want the group of five teams in aren't a fan of college football. They're just a fan of the major conferences. The only thing I take exception with what Tony said, that it'll never happen. We've seen it happen time and time. I think three AAC teams have won BCS bowls in the last 10 years. I mean, starting with UCF over Auburn, Tulane beat USC a few years back, and there's one other I'm forgetting. This probably isn't the year, but to say none of these teams ever have a chance. I mean, Boise State, I'm a big hater of Boise State. Usually I wasn't that high on the team last year. If they got to play in the first round, I think they would have had a chance to have a win. So I still think that niche should be carved out, even though if this isn't necessarily the year, give one of them a chance.
By the way, I'm still here. I'm having some camera issues, so you can just look at my moniker there. And it's probably a better-looking moniker than my face anyway, so I'll still be here. Let's look at
the other. You beat your words out of my mouth, Tony.
There you have it. Yeah, it says I can't find a camera or whatever. Tulane, Ole Miss giving up 17.5. Obviously, that's going to be a very, very interesting game, not having their head coach. And then the other two games, Miami, A&M. Miami giving up, Miami catching four. It's 51.5. And then, of course, Alabama, Oklahoma, the game that everyone's going to be loving around here. We've already seen this play once. And let's take it to Kip Kiefer, who knows all about the SEC. Can Alabama get beaten twice by Oklahoma, a team that's already beaten them twice the last 2 years?
Well, they can be. I don't know if they will be, because this is I was complaining about the Indiana-Ohio State game. This might be worse. This might be 9-7. Both these offenses are just going nowhere right now. It's astounding to look at the lack of production. Both teams are kind of mirror images of each other. Their quarterbacks were playing at a high level early in the year. Mateer, we know, broke his thumb. Ty Simpson's spirit is broken. The guy is a deer in headlights right now. He's just shell-shocked. He's sliding 5 yards behind the line to avoid getting hit. The guy is really just fragile now, and both those guys were in the Heisman Trophy discussion earlier in the year and have completely fallen out of it. I just think this is going to be just a brutal defensive battle, and it's not even so much the defenses are great on both sides. They're both very good defenses, but I think both the offenses are so inept. I think this game can go either way, and I think Alabama's fortunate to draw Oklahoma in the first round, even though Oklahoma's beaten them twice in a row, because I think Alabama against any team that can put up points would be in big trouble. Because, you know, if you're just completely one-dimensional, and I don't know what Jam Miller's status is, but I don't imagine he's going to be ready to play just next week. To me, with no running game whatsoever, you see the formula now against Alabama for every team. Bring the house. Bring everybody you can because they can't hurt you on the ground. You don't have to – your linebackers can just be pass rushers. And Alabama has not adjusted to that. You know, there's a lot of blowback here in Alabama about the inability of Grubb and DeBoer to come up with an offensive scheme to compensate for what is happening in terms of their deficiencies right now, because they just keep hanging their hat on the same approach. And Ty Simpson just doesn't have time to operate and doesn't have any stomach for you know, running for his life. So I think that game's a real toss-up. And yes, Alabama can win, and Oklahoma certainly can grind out a win, as we've seen in the game in Tuscaloosa, where Alabama really was complicit with three big turnovers and one long punt return that set up another score. It's going to be that kind of game again, I'm pretty convinced.
Yeah, that over-under is 40.5, which is really, really low for any Alabama game, period. I haven't seen a 40.5 for Alabama in a long time, and that just kind of fails to show that it's probably going to be one of those ugly ball games. I'll be honest with you. I got a lot of Alabama friends, as a lot of people down here do. It's the last thing they wanted to do is see Oklahoma again, because they know that offense does not look good against Oklahoma. They can't find a running game, -3 yards overall. And you mentioned Jam Miller, who actually averaged 5.5 yards a carry against Auburn. He actually gave them some room. We saw early in that ballgame when Bama got up 17-0 what that offense could look like when they find a running game. I mean, but you're right. They've got to do, whether it's Grubb, they got to do something with some misdirection or something, offensively speaking, because they can't put it everything on tie, because they're going to lose again. They're not going to be able to score. Case, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I guess the committee lived up to their promise that they don't care about rematches. I mean, it's just ridiculous, though. Alabama, the only team ever to not drop after a conference championship loss. Just drop them one spot. We don't have to have a rematch.
And Georgia doesn't go up by being the SEC champion. The runner-up of the Big Ten remains number two.
But game Georgia lucked out exhibition with that. Game. Georgia has the best path now. I agree with you, but I think if I'm – I saw some Georgia fans complaining, and Georgia's the one team in the field that I'd be shocked if they're not in the semifinals. So I would not want the two.
Yeah,
the Ole Miss Tulane winner doesn't sound very daunting right now.
Yeah, so I'm with Kip. It's a coin flip to me. I make Oklahoma the slightest of favorites, but I've been a little bit higher on Oklahoma all year. I said going into the first game between them, the thing that I don't think I ended up betting that game, but I said the one thing that had me leaning Oklahoma is I just think there's one outstanding unit in this game, and it's Oklahoma's defense. Alabama's offense has been okay in flashes. Oklahoma's offense has been great in flashes at the beginning of the year, but Oklahoma's defense is the one unit I actually trust. So between that and them playing at home, maybe my coin leans more on the Sooner side, like 52% of the time, but I really think it's a coin flip.
Oh, it should be interesting. And again, that line 1.5 and 40.5.
And Kyle, you're real excited about Alabama even being in the playoffs, I know.
Well, yeah, and I was going to go there. I didn't know how to say that, because you are an Alabama guy and you're centered here in Alabama, and obviously you have a lot of Alabama players. This is obviously a very good thing for a person like Kai Gregory, who takes a lot of action through his own little site. But, yeah, I mean, this is a good thing, right? I mean, you probably got Bammers. -0.5, all Bama's got to do is win. I would think that you're going to probably have – someone get really, really drunk on Friday night and make that phone call at 3 a.m. and want to put an entire mortgage on Alabama.
Guy is open 24/7, by the way.
Yeah.
There's people that have already placed Alabama bets, and I would be right with them. I think it's going to be brutal. I think Alabama gave the first game away. No, I don't think they deserve to be in the playoffs. Like Case said, you know, first team to ever lose their conference, and it didn't drop even a spot. And the committee should be shocked for the fact that we have Alabama, Oklahoma in the first round and Tulane, Ole Miss rematches in the first round. Somebody should have been smart enough to sit in that room and go, hey, no, we don't want to do this. Let's change these people. I mean, get Tulane playing.
Have you seen the chairman of the committee? That's how smart they are.
Let Tulane play Oregon and James Madison play Ole Miss. Just change that up. Then you've got Ole Miss and Georgia in the next round, another rematch. And I understand Indiana and Ohio State, they're going to eventually rematch, you know, and all that, some of these, but I do like the Texas A&M Miami, you know, hey, we both beat Notre Dame Bowl, that they're playing in. So, I mean, you have that, but I saw a lot this week during the game. I paid attention to Twitter, X, whatever the hell you call it, social media, people blowing up on Alabama on Grubb and wanting them to pull Ty Simpson. And I'm like, seriously? I mean, look at your backup quarterbacks. And do you really think you're better than him?
No. Keon Russell and Mack haven't played all year, basically. I mean,
the backup quarterback is always the favorite guy, though. Everyone loves the backup quarterback.
You went from Alabama fans calling it the Theismann Trophy at the beginning of the year because he was going for the Theismann Trophy to wanting to pull him in a game where they were simply point-blank overmatched, going into that game, had no chance to win. But I'll go back to Oklahoma loses to Alabama in the postseason, if you look at history, and they beat them during the regular season. So I'm going to go with Alabama.
Yeah, they say it's hard to beat a team twice. We've seen a lot of that this year, and it's really hard to beat a team three times. Well, it seems like if you really want to look at it, like I've already beaten you twice, why would it be hard to beat you three times? We'll see if Oklahoma can get it done. By the way, I want to go back to that CFP thing because I know we're still red hot under the collars here. We were talking about Alabama not doing anything after they lost. Georgia didn't do anything. They didn't raise anywhere. The one thing about the Notre Dame snub to me was the fact that Notre Dame was in front of Miami in poll one, in poll two, in poll three, in poll four, in poll five, and neither team played this past weekend, and they got jumped. And listen, I was telling Kip yesterday, if Miami had beaten Indiana earlier in the season, and Indiana won the Big Ten, and you had a reason why you would have raised Miami up because of someone they played early in the season, I get it. But they didn't. And so for the fact they were sitting there the entire time, and I forget – Was it Boise State? I want to say it was like 6 years ago, so it was probably 12. But they sat there; they were in the top four all year long until the final poll came out, and they moved them to number five.
Let me say this, Tony. If we talked about it last week on the show, when the numbers moved in Vegas last week, and Alabama all of a sudden became a prohibitive favorite before the SEC championship game to make the playoff, and the odds on Notre Dame went up to I think to plus 400 or something. That was the indicator the fix was in. And as soon as that poll came out, where they moved them side by side. I said it last week here on the show. They're setting it up where they're going to give Miami the head-to-head because they have to have them right next to each other in the standings. And by moving Alabama up, that pretty much ensured Alabama was going to get in. You could see it coming. This committee was not concerned about putting the best teams in. They were concerned about playing political games to justify what they ultimately were going to do.
You're right. Cause I can't, I'm still, no one can give me an answer why Notre Dame's not in this. I mean, there's no,
one of the 12 best teams, Iranian fighter pilot.
Even Alabama fans are like kind of laughing this one off going, we have won 55 national championships. I guess that's why we put us in. Yeah. I still don't get it. I still don't understand it. And I agree with you in what we saw from the CFP, but even I didn't see Alabama getting minus 3 yards rushing and look as bad. They got their ass handed to them against Georgia. It was the best game Georgia's played all year long.
Well, it could have been much worse, too.
That's
what I was going to say. Georgia's complicit here. They could have run up the score more.
They whipped their ass. And so when you get your ass beat in last game of the year, that's where I'm thinking to myself, and the committee still put them in? That's the part. I mean, everything pointed towards, all right, listen, guys, we've done everything we can do to try to put Big Brother in, but we can't do it. And you know they're probably getting bomb threats and death threats. Well, I mean,
they're worried about the SEC and the Big Ten leaving and creating their own conference, period.
That's a lot of it.
I mean, I think there's been way too much of this over the years, but I can't disagree with the way this thing was handled, that it feels like the SEC Invitational this year because Alabama, I mean, there's just no world where Alabama's better than Notre Dame. It's absolute. But again, most of my derision is for the ACC because if they just didn't have the dumbest tiebreaker, have a Duke team that had it. I think Virginia is the first team with a winning record. They beat in the conference all year. I mean, Miami just should have been in that game and won. Then unfortunately I wouldn't have my 1400 for my $100 bet on James Madison, but I really think Miami should have been in the championship game.
Well, you nailed it because we got five teams, with the same situation. Five teams are tied for the ACC, and obviously their tiebreaker had Duke end up going in and end up winning the thing. Miami should have been obviously because and they should have taken the highest CFP polled team, period. That should be their new tiebreaker, period. That's what it should be. And because of that, but I mean, yeah, that's the first place they got to start is they got to change their tiebreaker. So something like this never happens again. That being said, congratulations to Duke. It was a really bad year for the ACC. And I can't believe, you know, that Dabo Swinney and at the end of the year, Clemson would have run the table just based on his skill set and his talent and what he's had. And he couldn't even pull the shade over this window. So it just didn't happen.
Well, it's his fault that Duke even got in the playoff game because they blew a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter.
You're right. There's no doubt.
Hey, Tony, I was looking at this, and I just had to say one of my four guarantees at the beginning of the year getting into the playoffs got in, Oregon. That was it. I just happened to bring it up now because I had Clemson, Boise, Notre Dame, and Oregon.
Did you write down the rest of ours?
No, but I'm going to go back and watch that and see because I
I'm pretty sure I had Georgia and Ohio State at least. I don't know who I had beyond that.
Yeah, I know I had South Carolina, and I'll own that because I wanted to make sure that
came. I didn't have Texas, Clemson, Penn State.
Why? What does Texas do?
They suck.
Yeah, they suck. There you go. Thank you very much. Although they are 14th in the Vegas poll.
Well, good for them.
And Texas, believe it or not, is the next three-loss team that they could have chosen.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. So we have set precedent here. I want to set some more precedents because I think, and I cannot believe they couldn't figure out, even the Big Ten and the SEC couldn't get out of their way. There's too much money. They had to crawl over the cash to try to agree to go to 16 teams next year, and even they couldn't do it. They had to December 1st, although since they're running the show, I'm sure there's some caveat where they can sit in a dark room after the season and say, yeah, we decided to go ahead and make a 16 for 2026 because, first of all, it's more money, more chances to get in. Then we have the argument about the 17th and 18th team not getting in. So, but I this does set the caveat, though, that now a three-loss team can make it in. But it's only going to be probably 1 year or 2 years because next year it'll be 16 and we're going to have a three-loss team get in.
Well, they paint themselves into a corner with their declarations. We cannot penalize a team for losing their conference championship game. Yeah. So they're painted in the corner there. The number one criteria, head-to-head, Notre Dame, clearly a better team, but gets down into a tie with Miami, and it's broken by the head-to-head result from week number one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
you're not going to be penalized for having a conference championship, but everyone's penalizing Notre Dame for not having it being a championship.
Yeah. And it used to be body of work. What else does Notre Dame have to do? They beat everybody by 30 points from that point on.
So, including USC and Pitt. So if you're telling me that if Notre Dame played this weekend and lost, they'd have a better shot of making it to the playoffs at 10-3 than 10-2 and not playing?
That's correct.
Is that what you're telling me? I mean, yeah, that's
if you make your conference championship game, you're basically guaranteed a spot. No matter what, if you Alabama could have lost 56-3 and they'd have been in.
Let me ask you something. And I heard Kalen DeBoer, I heard Ryan Day say this after poor Ryan Day. He finally beats Michigan, then he can't win the Big Ten. He just can't seem to win it all.
But he's keeping Grecian formula in business,
no doubt. And that beard is as black as ever.
Not dye his hair.
What does this say about conferences? Because conferences, coaches will always say, hey, listen, when I got here, it was all day long. I don't care if Auburn goes 1-11, as long as that victory is against Alabama, I don't give a shit about that. Now, this is when we had the UPI and the AP and we had split national championships and USA Today wasn't even in existence. We don't care if we lose every game by 100, as long as we beat Alabama. And you saw that to an extent, obviously, in the Iron Bowl this past weekend, just how important that game is because we are grown up here in the state. It's the best bowl game of all time. It's the best rivalry of all time. You can sit there and talk about Ohio State, Michigan all you want, but there's nothing even close. But these kids are born with, you know, the bib on that either says Auburn or Alabama on. I mean, they live it their entire lives, and they get a chance to prove it on a football field. And now all of a sudden, you're telling me that you can lose a title in your conference like Ohio State did, and the Ohio State fans will look the other way as long as you bring home the big natty, and that's what they did last season. So where are conferences in this new look college football thing we got? Do we really care? Or should we just go 32 team conferences and just take the top two teams? What do you guys think? Because I think things are about ready to change.
I don't know. I wish I had said something to say. I just, Just the conference championship games are just in such an odd spot right now because I still like the conferences, the idea of a conference champion, especially because I think it does still really matter unless it's the SEC and the Big Ten. I mean, those two teams we've been shown are now always going to get in no matter what format. So I do think it matters in the rest, but just the conference championship games are just kind of a waste of time. I mean, they're just those two are just exhibitions. I mean, Alabama probably should have just sat their starters and had some rest because they could have lost 56-3, like you said, and still be in. And even Indiana, Ohio State didn't really change anything. I mean, Indiana got the one seed, but is that even, you know, who knows? The rest of the teams are so bunched up together. It's like, it just seems like that there was nothing really on the line, at least for the Big Two. And I don't know, it's kind of disappointing, but I guess it's just the cost of doing business now.
Tells you if you're Indiana, as far as the one seed, would you rather play Georgia or Texas Tech in the semifinals if it goes by hierarchy? That's literally all it did for that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and to answer Tony's question, the Sankey sellout of getting the SEC to go to 9 games next year in conference is the first indicator that he has basically joined at the hip with Tony Petitti. The move is on. The Big Ten and SEC will eventually, maybe even in the couple of coming years, break away and form NFL 2 because the television networks, Petitti, a former Fox executive, they're calling the shots here, and that is the grand plan, to have one big grand Saturday NFL model of a super conference, maybe a couple teams, the better teams from the ACC or the Big 12, maybe a couple of those will slither into the mix, but you're going to get one super conference, and all of this concern for all these little schools, they're on a different level. And it's just the nature of the game. TV is driving this. The big money interests are driving it. That's the goal. And everything that's happening every time we see it is a step in that direction. And that is what we're going to ultimately see in the next few years.
Go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Don't forget our television show here locally. You can watch it on our YouTube channel on Tony Curry Radio and or... of course, the YouTube channel, The Starting Lineup. You can watch the show live. It's 10:30, 11 o'clock every Saturday morning as we get ready for the big old Army-Navy game coming up. And, of course, it'll be the first Saturday in a long time. We haven't had a full board of college football games. But it's going to be a great show, 10:30, 11 o'clock. I think during that particular show we could crown our bankroll champion.
I just want to say
Texas Tech giving up the 12.5 was a nice little play there by Tone the Bone. I just wanted to bring that up. I'm not sure where that put me in the standings on our bankroll contest, but I just wanted to bring up the fact that I did end up hitting my bet this past week.
You went all in, and betting all of your money put you on top, which is...
I thought I was just going to declare the winner last week.
Yes!
That's your whole bankroll? What kind of nonsense?
The whole bankroll, my friend, yes!
It was $800 lead? All in. Yeah.
What?
Yes, the whole bankroll, my friend. Thank you very much.
I thought I was out $50 a week.
Yeah, well, for Final Jeopardy, you could bet everything that you had compiled.
But, it was in the email. It was in the email. I saw it. Final Jeopardy was in the email. You could bet whatever you wanted on that last week. So, you take it like a man.
You guys are criticizing the football committee, and I've kicked your ass all year, and I don't know what rules are now. Season,
yeah. Oh, I don't know about kicking ass now.
I bet $700 on my one winner. So I guess that's just...
Yeah,
this is news to me. And
I did it just like in Vegas. I was late for the flight and said, hell with it, just push it all into the middle of the table and move on. And
I'll tell you what, while you're talking about that, though, you said we don't have a full slate of college football. We got a huge slate of college basketball Saturday. You've got a great slate tonight as well. I mean, we're looking at like 9 games right now that I've got some stuff and to talk about. But I mean, if you're not watching college basketball yet, and somebody listening or whatever, you've got to watch Michigan and you've got to watch Arizona. Those two teams are special. And tonight at Madison Square Garden, you got a great game. I think Florida and UConn is going to be an incredible game. And I think the other way, Clemson BYU is before that at Madison Square Garden. I think it's the Jimmy V Classic is what that is. We have some incredible basketball games.
I'm heated right now. I just called up this email. There's nothing on this email about betting your whole bankroll. It says bankroll scoreboard. What kind of BS is this? This is insane.
You were the only one that
bankroll
didn't know.
Bankroll scoreboard case 2550. Legend Brothers 1970. Where does it say double jeopardy?
I think that was either an email or something. No, it was on our text. It was a text message. Yeah, read your text message because that's on him, because Kai was the one that asked the question. Hey, it's last week. What can we do? And Kip said, yeah, go all in. You can go full Jeopardy. You can bet whatever you want. It was on a text message.
But that was the rules all year. You could bet whatever you wanted.
Well, where are those rules? Was I communicated them?
I don't know if we ever.
Yeah, because we just saw we were saying, okay, do we have to do three teams at $50 a piece, or can we do a $150 parlay? And we changed that up like 2 or 3 weeks into the season. So yeah.
I thought those were the two choices. I was still operating on the preseason rules. Yeah. Man,
Tony had to change the rules so he would have a chance to win.
Oh, I didn't change.
I mean,
the rules
it's a coin flip between who's more inept, this committee or the college football.
Yeah, well, you know,
I had no idea on these rules.
It's a tie, or at least, but yeah, we were not very well defined. I just declared it would be Final Jeopardy, but I had the premise all year. If you wanted to risk the money you had, you could.
Yeah, you could bet whatever you wanted as long as you had it. He was putting another $150 in your coffers every week.
But instead of if you bet the $150 and lost all your money, that week it didn't affect what you'd already earned. You just lost the $150. But during the season, if you wanted to up that and bet $300 a game, if you had the money, you had the right to do that. But that was going to come out, then that would be deducted from your total. But nobody opted to do that all year. So yeah, some sketchy details there.
Sketchy for me. Sounded pretty good.
I didn't know
today.
I could do that. But also, my other point of contention is last week on the show, Tony said something about how I won the contest.
Yeah, because he said nobody's going to catch Case. Yeah, but he managed to go all in.
I didn't know if we were still going another week or not. I thought that was the final week, and then I thought, well, no, we got conference championship, so that's when I found out about Final Jeopardy. So I go, okay, good. That's
I'm like Notre Dame. I'm not conceding and I'm not participating.
That's right. Well, you're the regular season champion.
You're the regular season champion, and I won the regular championship. It's okay. It's all right. We can have a championship between the two of us if you want. You want to deal with some?
I tell you what. I think y'all should both get $500 during bowl season. And you can bet it however you want, and then there's the winner because you have a regular season champion and the champion.
Yes, that just got Tony into the playoffs.
I'm up for whatever. Hey, as long as I bet as long as I beat the Legend Brothers, I could give a fart.
And you did.
I will give it up to Case Kiefer any day, anywhere, in front of 60,000 people that he's a better handicapper than I'll ever be, and I'll give him all that. But I am not getting my ass beat by Legend and his stinking brother, who, by the way, picked two losers. He picked a game that went up on Friday night, which lost. He picked a game on Saturday, which lost. And then, of course, he had the Bengals plus the 6, and he went against me, and somehow they came in, backdoored their ass, and somehow they got up, despite the fact they were a 10. So he went 1-2 if he was picking his two games. So I'm just happy to be in front of the Legends so I don't have to hear their crap for the rest of the year. So, Case, I will give it to you. I will hand you the trophy, my friend.
Look at that. We came to a resolution. I'm going to say you can be the BCS champion and I'll be the AP champion, because now it's pretty clear things are better in the BCS days.
That is fine with me. Hey, we got 3 minutes here real quick. Another monster weekend here in the National Football League. Lions, Rams, Bills, Pats, Colts, Seahawks, Packers, Broncos. Anything jumping out for you guys? I was going to say, and of course, we had a weird game last night, Chargers and Eagles. I can't figure out the Eagles. I just don't know if this is a good football team or a bad football team, or I don't know what they're doing.
We saw history last night. The first player to ever turn the ball over twice in one play. That's never happened in the NFL in history.
Crazy.
Jalen Hurts throws an interception. The guy fumbles. Hurts picks it up. He fumbles. He turns it over twice in one play.
Yeah, that's pretty. That is not good for fantasy points. In one play, by the way.
And he had two interceptions on the year before last night, and had four in addition to that fumble. Isn't that crazy? I haven't been able to figure out the Eagles either. I guess. I had a really bad NFL week. I had been crushing the NFL, so I guess I'd be even more mad if I would have gone 3-0. But I think I only hit one of those bets. Yeah, another fun week. I guess we got to pour one out for Indiana Jones. I know that's been Kai's team all year. Now we're down to Riley Leonard with him tearing his Achilles.
And did you hear who they're thinking about signing? Philip Rivers.
Yeah, Philip Rivers.
Who has not taken a snap since 2020.
He's 44 years old.
Yeah, it's insane. Would you take Jay Cutler? 6 feet under, they'd be bringing him back.
Would you take Jay Cutler or Philip Rivers right now if you could have either one?
Jay Cutler, is he still alive?
Yeah, I think he was doing that. He was doing that television show with his wife until they got divorced, and then
I think he got a DUI or something recently. Yeah, allegedly, I don't want to get us sued, but I think he got in some trouble with the law recently.
Philip Rivers, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, like seriously, at the age of 44, I hadn't heard his name in forever, and I saw that, and I was like, are you serious? Is he really going to come back? I mean,
how hard? Well, the Colts 2 weeks ago were the toast of the town. Now I see they're like a 15-point underdog this week.
Right. Hey, look out for this Jags. They're playing some pretty good football. Just
yeah, saying. But this is that's not an upset alert, but the Jags are just the typical kind of NFL team. I think they're 12.5. You watch, they'll struggle and win by 6.
Yeah,
What happens in the NFL. Right when you get on board, they will smack you down every time. I love the Bills to finally slow the Patriots down. I think the Bills' pedigree comes out this week. I like how they're playing right now, and the Patriots, I just don't think they're completely legit.
The Bills, everyone.
Thursday, Tampa Bay kills Atlanta.
I think so, too. I've been telling you guys all year how bad the Falcons are, and Raheem Morris was the worst hire of all time. The Falcons franchise, the ultimate dumpster fire.
Good stuff, gentlemen. We'll do it again on Friday. It is bowl season. Get after it. Go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. You heard us talking about the college hoops, man. That is college hoops every single day of the week. Go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com for all your college plays. And, of course, college football on the way. We greatly appreciate you. Thanks, of course, to the fine folks at Coastal Digital Sports Network for having us. Also, Tony Curry Radio. And, of course, we're working to get on Beast and we have all kinds of different avenues that we're working to get this show on. So thanks to the thousands of folks who tune in every single week. And K4 Wins right here. We thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. We'll talk to you a little bit.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.